For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 172, Necrophilia Delight.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hundred men. For Boston, take my scars and my faith. And ever with a right shot as they bound to touch me no more in the market shop. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Mnemonic.
And joining us here is a very special guest of ours. He's our good friend from the Later Show, Issues Program, and Esh Buddy.
Legendary Esh.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's John C. Reilly.
Yes. How's everything going?
Good, good. I've been on hiatus for the last couple of weeks putting together the new show and the new equipment and everything, so we're going to be going live once again with all new great awesome stuff this Sunday. But
the ultimate machine to take over the world!
The world! Yes!
We were taking a look at some of the stuff that you had created just for this show, and we are impressed!
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's an obsession. It's an obsession, more or less. Like
I have an obsession, but I don't have the money backing it.
Well, I would consider it more like World of Warcraft, or drinking, or being a sex addict. You just want to do it all the time.
I got two out of the three on those ones. World of Warcraft, not so much.
Oh! Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Like, what's the new setup that you've got? Just so people can get a good idea what sort of, like, material that you've got.
What sort of material? Okay, right now I'm rocking a Dell XPS 8500, new computer with the new i7 Intel processor. I got 16 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. I have 2 terabytes of the memory. I have right now an AMD Radeon 7770 graphics card right there. But I'm working. I owe it all to another internet personality, a guy who does a lot of podcasts. His name is Brian Brushwood, and he does a lot of great stuff. And I was always contacting him on the internet and on his podcast, his Facebook page, and Twitter, and he always had a chance to answer my questions, whether it be regarding software or webcams. And right now, it's like I have this really awesome software called VidBlaster,
mm-hmm.
which is unbelievable, but it's PC only. So anybody who has Macs, I'm sorry, you gotta have to deal with like CamTwist
or yes, I know,
or a bunch of other different things, but it's revolutionary. It's given me the opportunity to be able to take my vision and make it real. Plus, I'm also working with a couple brand new HD webcams, and of course, I also have the audio setup itself. So, I'm trying to rival a lot of actual broadcasts locally. Like, you know, if I can do as good or a better job than like Salem Public Access or like, you know, Saugus or wherever, mm-hmm. like locally and stuff right here, that just shows that we can actually produce great material for other shows. We can bring back the live Ustream show for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yeah.
Yay! Literally multiple cameras pointing on, close-up shots, a little window between the two of you guys on the bottom that shows the chat. Anybody asking questions, we can jump right to screen caps on the computer itself. If we want to review a video or show some video of like the demo playing for a video game while talking about it, we can do a lot of great stuff right there. So
yes,
sold.
Yes. So maybe sometime soon.
I want to say within the next month or two, maybe, hopefully. Hopefully. No, it's good. Be with all your testing and whatnot. So
yeah,
probably the next 3 months. I would say in that time period or something like that, that we might be able to get an actual.
And we'll have even more time once
interweb show
once the summer comes, and I'm actually able to jump like pretty much because right now it's quiet where I work, but it can get a little crazy. But I would definitely say, you know, in the next 3 months, with the time that I have, I'm pretty sure that we can put together at least a pilot, or we can work on something together. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And plans.
Yes, look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to pull off something big.
Big stuff down the pipeline.
Yeah.
But anyway, how are you guys?
We're good.
Good?
We're good.
Not as good as you, Jesus Christ.
We've been hanging around the last couple days.
Yes.
So we had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yard House.
That was really good.
Yard House was good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then we also went to Flog and Molly.
Yes. Well, let's move things around then. Let's talk about this concert that we went to last night. Flog and Molly, Life at the House of Blues, with opening acts Dave House and Skinny Lister.
So, Dave House, all right, let's start off with Dave House.
Yes, Dave House was impressive.
A man to come out by himself, which we've seen like tons of time where a guy will come out by himself with a guitar, nothing else. Yeah. Usually they get scared, they don't perform well, or...
Hi, this is my song about my ex-girlfriend breaking up with me! I've only really seen a lot of, or a few of people, actually, performers come out there in a big club, but they're carrying their presence as far as being a personality,
like Bob Dylan. Look at
Bob Dylan. Matt Skiba, from Alkaline Trio and stuff like that, playing on an acoustic thing.
Sam Mulligan.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you don't know Sam Mulligan. Sam is kind of one of our local friends here. Bus driver, that's kind of impressive because of the fact that he has a digital aspect to him, but he's like a one-man band. He does his own kind of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, for them to go out there and do that, and Dave was absolutely amazing.
Dave came out with, like, 10-pound balls.
Excuse me while my balls ting back and forth, and then here's my guitar where you're going to hear them tapping. That's the drum beat.
He just exuded confidence when he was just playing and stuff right there, and it was more like a lot of anthem stuff.
Like Frank Turner.
Not only that, he was also able to interact with the crowd, too. He was able to, that guy,
even though he did, like, some cheesy things, like the stereotypical, like, you know, I was just in my hometown last night, but now here in Boston, I think this is a show way better than last night. It's like,
yes, Philadelphia sucks.
We all have to agree on that.
Hey, Dr. Dog is from Philadelphia, and they're an awesome band.
Yes, I would.
Philadelphia sucks. I'm not saying the band sucks. I'm saying Philadelphia sucks.
But it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Bullshit. Anyways. Not lately.
I wanted to bring up one particular thing. Like, I love the fact that he did the acoustic by himself and everything, but I thought that that was his thing. And I bought his album, and I listened to it, and he's got a full band behind him and stuff. So I lost interest in it and stuff. I wish I could have, like, a copy of him doing the acoustics, like, last night, because that energy that he had behind him while singing was just, like, it was, I keep going back to Anthem, but it was pretty much, like, he was just driving it home and stuff like that, like possessed and stuff like that, because he was so powerful and stuff, and I haven't seen somebody perform like that in a long time, like, so confident in themselves and singing, because there any time, like, he could laugh or, like, could be awkward, and people were, like, he had people's captivated attention right there and there, so it's, like, and they kept up, and it was like, wow, I actually really enjoyed it. That was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was blown away. I mean, you guys were down on the floor, and me and my girlfriend were up in, like, the bleachers, as I would call it, or the stands.
Yes.
But the balcony was, it was definitely a different, you know, point of view from what I've had at the House of Blues and whatnot.
Because we're usually on the floor.
We're always on the floor, and we're standing there, like, 5 hours on end, basically, just, like, waiting for, like, all the acts to get through and whatnot, But yeah, like, this one was interesting because of the fact that I was able to, like, sit and rest a little bit. I was like, surrounded by old people that kept getting up and, like, having to go to the bathroom and then get 20 other beers and all that
and
other shit.
And fat drunks.
Yeah.
Who danced with the security.
No. That guy was not fat. He was a fucking, like, muscle ape. Dude, I'm telling you. Like,
so he's like, I'm still a gorilla.
Let's dance around.
He's a hood.
Yeah, basically.
Goon. Thanks a lot, goon.
He looked like a friggin' goon, yeah. But more or less, that's what I was saying was, is like, we had to deal with that stupidity on that aspect. So, more or less, if you're going to go for the balcony, try to go for the seats that are actually near the edge. So, if you're going to sit down, you won't have to worry, because the person behind you will be like, son of a bitch, I can't see around you. Oh, well.
These seats are designed for people who don't care about looking at it. They just want to be in the atmosphere going, I love the sound of it. Let me sip my champagne.
But to hear him, you know, from my point of view, Dave was damn amazing. Yes. I felt it all the way up there. It was pretty good. Yeah, he did a great job.
I like the songs he did.
That was the one thing that, like, I was like, when he said, what was the name of the autism, what?
Autism Vaccine Blues.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say what you were saying.
No. But, like, the one thing I wanted to say, I was like, either the king is going to be like, fuck this guy, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to run over and jump over on the table and try to physically harm him.
I had to hold back.
Yeah. Or he was going to just flat out like it and give him his business card, which it was the later.
Well, I never got the business card. But for people who haven't really tuned into the show since the beginning of stuff, I'm autistic. And usually I get pissed off by our portrayal in media. Like in movies.
Or if you see that stupid bumper sticker with like a puzzle aspect on there.
I never understood. Why isn't it, if like you're saying you're missing a couple pieces of puzzle, doesn't it mean you're crazy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, which is bullshit.
The unfinished canvas.
Oh, so the logo is an unfinished puzzle?
No. It's actually a puzzle piece, and then there's puzzle pieces inside the puzzle of the puzzle piece, and it says autism. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Here, I'll pull it up. Inception. Keep talking.
It's like a design within a design within a design. We're down three floors of designs, man.
But since the dawn of time, I've deplored the way that autistic people have been portrayed in media, in movies, and television, and even recently in video games, like in that horrible game Amy that came out last year.
But what's the game Amy about?
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Okay.
So what I was trying to say is, like, I understand if Hollywood wants to portray someone who's low functioning, because I'm extremely high functioning.
Oh, yeah.
They've never. I don't want to say
Forrest Gump.
Well, no, Forrest Gump wasn't autistic. He was just really mentally challenged. But what I don't like is the fact that Hollywood prefers to show, whenever they want to have an autistic character,
an extreme. Like I Am Sam?
Well, I Am Sam's not autistic. He was full, I don't want to say the term from Tropic Thunder, but he was mentally retarded.
Okay.
So, I'm talking more about movies like Rain Man, and I hate it when people just, as soon as I tell people I'm autistic, that's the first thing they go to. And that pisses me off. Because for one thing, that movie was made back when autism was still fairly discovered. Today's standards, he'd be more of an idiot savant.
Yeah. Okay. But more or less the concept is that, you know,
There's no high-functioning autistic people.
To assume you make an ass out of yourself, so just, try not to do that so much.
Hollywood has yet to do a film where there's someone with high-functioning autism.
Well, you're going to be the first one, then. We're going to just have to do it.
We're
just going to have to make it, you know, as awesome and do a bunch of Sundance films, and we'll make money.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But going back to this song, Autism Vaccine Blues, and I'm holding the CD.
The wrong friggin' CD case, buddy.
I know that. I'm
Theater of the Mind.
Thank you. It's a good song, and I totally get the whole angst of it. I don't think Dave House is autistic. I just think he was just using it in place of something more of a metaphorical stance of how he was feeling in life.
Yeah. But, you know, more or less, besides that, he did just a fantastic job.
Excellent.
He belted it, and he did, you know, he did the Irish, more or less, for me, proud, for more like the Celtic type music.
Yes.
And with a guitar. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, when's the other band? Is backing tracks? No. You did all Mike Ness style. Okay, all right, I got you.
Okay. And then the next band that came out, my God, it's only February, and I'm already calling this best new artist, Skinny Lister.
Yep, Skinny Lister.
Skinny Lister.
Skinny Lister.
Great folk band from London, England, with a very, very very pretty gal right in the center doing some dancing and background vocals. A
lovely lass.
A very lovely lass.
What the hell's a Lister?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, I think Lister is a person's name.
It comes
like Dave Lister.
Like Dave Lister. Or Listerine.
Oh, great. So they like to clean people's mouths. No?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, guys.
Lister, I'm cleaning your mouth, governor.
But the energy that they brought to the show was just perfect. Like they basically almost stole the show from Flogging Molly. That's how good they were. From doing the John Kanakigati Long Ale, however it goes.
Yeah,
the whole crowd to just sing along to it.
I almost thought that it was a cover of an old Irish song, but the thing is that Sea Shanty was probably my favorite performance of the night by far and stuff. Like, of course, Flogging Molly was great and stuff, but hearing that song, it was just, it was really cool. I was like, what was he, was he the bassist? Or the, he was the, what instrument was he playing other than...
The mandolin. Song?
Okay, that's right. And he kind of looked a little bit like the guy from Mumford & Sons.
Yes. And that's a good band to compare this to. More folksy version of Mumford & Sons, if that's even possible.
Yeah, well, these guys are from London, so, you know.
So are Mumford & Sons.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like a lot of this folk-type music, I'm usually expecting it from...
Here.
No, Ireland.
Oh.
That's where I'm like, that was one of the things when I grew up and stuff like that. My father, when he was playing like music in the car and stuff like that, it was mainly like Celtic music, you know, and classical music. That's, you know, where I get that whole thing where I like how, you know, where Metallica brought in San Francisco's, you know, Symphony Orchestra to do that whole setup with that. That's one of those things that I like, the whole, or, you know, to bring the metal and, you know, classical music together.
Me
but
too.
Lately, seeing that there's been this another like folk type wave that's come along,
and we gotta thank the movie Old Brother We're Out though for that happening.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like this is one of those things where they've done just justice more or less towards the old style music and bringing it back. And
yes,
I mean, I know a lot of these bands like Flogging Molly and maybe Dropkick Murphys have been around for a while, but yet it's just coming back again in this sense. It's just hopefully
it's taking over the world. Around. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hopefully it's not one of those, you know, things
that
pass.
It's not like swing dancing.
Oh, no.
Ska.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Ska.
Ska is great, but Ska used to be like, boom, like Brian Setzer kind of like huge, and
yes,
like everybody wanted to be like, but I would have to say, let's hope it's more everlasting than Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Yeah,
and
I'd rather
Mom and Daddy's
have a permanence on this, and instead of like, you know, how they had, you know, Mighty Mighty Boston is awesome, but what it is if you listen to like their old stuff, like back in the day, their stuff was more like,
well,
like
hardcore,
yeah,
like,
primarily,
it was,
yeah,
like hardcore ska
and a punk stuff. So yeah.
It was, but now it's like you can actually understand what they're saying and what the point is of the song.
Ken Casey's a smart man. Marketing is like, let's just go full at it, man.
Yeah,
yes,
they did a great job.
Go for the Irish.
Yep.
Tip. And of course, having Al Barr from the Bruisers and stuff coming right there and adding a great sound to it, a great feel to it. And probably the only person that could have replaced Mike McCogan and stuff when he left to the Boston Fire Department. So,
but back to Skinny Lister.
The highlight of, in my opinion, this was the highlight of this whole night, was when they started playing 17 Summers and they brought in the giant drum and the bassist, not bass guitar, big giant bass.
Is it cello bass?
Yeah, cello bass.
Yeah.
Crowd surfing while playing at the same time.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't injure
anybody. Crowd surfing the drum, and it goes around the crowd, comes back to him, and goes, and he has everybody holding up the drum for him, and he starts playing and stuff. That was
pretty badass. Yeah,
great picture opportunity that you had.
And I did get a great picture opportunity. And let me just say this: after their set, I walked over to their little merch table, got their autographs, shook their hands, gave him my business card, and I told him straight out, I look forward to seeing you guys sell out this place as a headliner.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, I can definitely picture
that. Now, the other thing is that song that's at the end of their album right there, Colors, when they played that song, that was a very beautiful song. I have to say that. I know that it's like kind of weird coming from me, but I'm like, that was a very nice song. It was done very well.
Man, it's cool.
It's very, yeah. Now, I'm gonna go cry in the corner. Yes. Excuse me.
Now, why don't we call out the motherfucker that was in the crowd who was trying to hurt our poor lass?
Douchebag!
God, that guy. That guy.
There was this dude. He was flipping off the band. He was flipping off the crowd.
He had like a constant finger up to like fuck, and then turns around and goes, "Oh yeah, you don't like this? Well, fuck you too."
But listen, this is the weird thing. It looked like he was singing along to the songs. I don't get it. So why would he want to do something like that? And then he does the ultimate sin. He takes his beer can and throws it at the girl.
Was it a beer can or a Coke can?
A beer can.
Really?
It was a Guinness.
No, I thought it was red. But no, that was the thing with me was that I thought they weren't serving cans anymore. They were just like up in my balcony.
They sell cans to us. Yeah,
yeah, they sell cans.
Yeah, because those are going to be assault weapons.
And as soon as that can hit the ground, I love this. Whoosh. Boom! Everybody pointed at
right there. And she's like, "Well, at least it wasn't full." Yeah. She's like making jokes and stuff like that. It's like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "I'm embarrassed." And all of a sudden, and he gets carted away by security,
and we're like, "Yeah!"
And his wife is still there, and his wife decides not only stay there instead of following where her husband's going, she decides to text him the note, probably, "Hey, I'm not leaving. I'm gonna go see the show." She starts instigating a mosh pit. She's just like pushing everybody, pushing smaller people, and just randomly just starts bringing the melee and stuff into the
right. Hunter. Which brings up my second douchebaggery moment of the night. People who are all the way in the back, didn't wait out in the cold like we did.
Yeah.
Trying to like rush up to the front to do the mosh pit. I'm sorry, but listen, if you wanted to be part of the mosh pit, you should have waited in the line early. You shouldn't have rushed to the front, pushing us back, because we were like right near the front.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, we were like right near the front of the stage, and then before even Flogging Molly started, somehow we were like two piers back already. Yeah. And
yeah, that's the fucked up thing about that, how that works out. But I mean, the other setup that happened, or we can name it as number three that happened of douchebaggery, was the guy that you mentioned that, you know, legitimately grabbed, like, he was standing where on this bar stool seat that we were sitting on, like, he was just, like, standing up, and he was just like, "Yeah!" Like, he was fucking gone. He had, like, at least seven beers in him, and he was just absolutely... Like, that was the thing. He could go between the seats because they moved. So, like, he would just keep going back and forth. Like, one minute he was in front of me, the next minute he was behind me, and I was like, "What the fuck is he doing?" So, yeah. And then when he got talked to by the security, oh boy. He just grabs the biggest girl out of, like, all of them and just starts fucking hoedown.
"Come here, darling.
Just come here!" And he just starts hoedowning with her. I was like, "What the fuck is going on with these people?" And, you know, legitimately, like I said, I was like, if I was security, I would have tossed this guy off the balcony.
Yeah, but like I said, he would have landed on top of me.
No, but I would have dropped him on his head, though. But just to save us all that one bit of things, just
what
to stop him.
If he landed on top of my head,
I would have aimed for the stage. Shut up.
Fine, okay.
So about the sound guy.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get him from that angle. Oh. No, but to go over to Flogging Molly and stuff like that, that was pretty amazing. I mean, I wasn't expecting that much energy to come off of that. I mean, even though Skinny Lister was amazing, like,
yes,
but that's the thing. They had what, five people, and then to go to Flogging Molly to have seven, mm-hmm. Yeah, seven it was.
Yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah.
See, I've seen good bands open up for, like, I saw Less Than Jake open up for Bad Religion, but I've seen, like, shitty bands open up for bigger bands. Like, I saw this band from England called Red Alert, and they opened up for Dropkick Murphys during, I think, one of the last, I think it was 2007, 2008, yeah. Of their, what do you call it, of their St. Patty's Day show, and they were like, the guys, I don't know, he's three sheets to the wind. He's yeah. Trying to sing, he's, like, starting bites, calling everybody cunts, and stuff. It's like, oh my god, it's like... Just sing the damn songs, man.
Well, that we've dealt with that before.
I've gone to...
Yes. No.
Oh, yeah, what's a horrible opening? Okay, when we saw Fucked Up in concert,
yeah,
way back at the Middle East, we had Black Helicopter and Kurt Vile. Those were horrible.
No,
acts.
Black Helicopter, I thought Black
no,
Helicopter...
No, Double Nines was a good one.
Oh, Double Nines was a good one. Those two, yeah, okay. There was four acts all together, and yeah, there was the first two were just absolutely god awful. You could have just gone taking a shit and come back and been happy. That's how bad they were. And then And then the whole setup with Nine Inch Nails, that thing was good. Like, we went and saw Street Sweeper Social Club, that opened, and then Nine Inch Nails, and then Jane's Addiction came on, and it was just god awful.
Yeah, Jane's Addiction, you know, we just left after the third song. It was like, you're wearing an outfit, Mr. Farrell.
That should never have been worn.
Yes. Freddie Mercury's looking down from heaven going, gay! I give up.
You know what the worst opening band I ever saw? The shitty Beatles.
Oh, there you go. The Dung Beatles. Oh, man.
They were shitty.
Yeah.
I think he is 50 years old.
Is he? Because yes. I'm thinking that he's up there in age. I mean, for him to come out in like a business suit like that, just to like start rocking out, I would not be doing that. I'm sorry. I'd be coming out with like some relaxed clothing and just rocking the hell out instead of just like, oh yeah, I get, oh shit, he's pulling down the tie. He's fucking getting into it.
He probably feels more comfortable in that suit than he would have in any other outfit.
Well, because he said this song was from back in the day, you know, when I was a little asshole. Well, I'm still a little bastard asshole, but whatever, you know. At least I'm not as bad now. It's like, so for him to go to probably, like, punk rock clothing and everything like that to business suit attire, yeah.
You gotta dress appropriate for your age, I guess.
Yeah.
He wants to look classy and all.
He needed to look professional. And then I couldn't believe that the woman that was on there was actually his wife. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so for her to be like...
Dave King is his name, and he was born in 1961, making him 51 years old.
Yeah, that's about right.
Still great.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yes.
And he's still able to, like, you know, rock the house as far as, you know, when it comes to partying and stuff, how he's talking about how Dave House was on the tour bus. He goes, oh, that poor man. He couldn't sleep at all. We kept him up all night.
Yeah. It's like he never knew what he was getting into.
We're smoking. We're drinking. We're playing lullabies. We're playing folk songs. And he's all like, can you guys please just be quiet? I'm going to rest my voice and...
What motherfucker didn't get a lack of sleep last night?
I got blisters on my fingers.
But yeah, it was pretty funny that, you know, he was actually interacting with the crowd too. He's like, "Oh, Boston Celtics, is that a local group? Are they good?"
You know, that I was actually surprised that he did not reference Doc McMurphy's at all. I would have thought he would have thrown a couple of jokes like, I know I got to be careful here because Ken Casey is just across the street. Yeah, I know if I say something bad, he will give me an ass whooping.
Yeah. You know, try to do a Boston accent. Hey, what are you doing over there?
No, he has that Irish accent.
Oh, well, because he is from Ireland.
I know. It's just he has very
an Irish accent.
Dicks.
Get out of here!
No. It was very very thick.
But we were talking after the show, like if Dropkick Murphys and Floggin' Molly ever got together to record an album, like, what would they be called? Would they be called Dropkick Molly, Flogging Murphy, or will it be called Murphy and Molly, A Marriage Made in Hell?
I like Floggin' Murphy.
Yeah, Floggin' Murphy sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
but I understand, like, you know, if you want to have that unholy union of a marriage between the two groups and stuff like that, like, Molly Murphy or Murphy Molly or Molly Murphy would be interesting. You'd be like, Molly Murphy, who's that? Is she a new singer?
And yeah,
like, it's Flogging Molly and Drunken Murphy's. And they're like,
what the?
Here's my money. Take my money.
Shut up and take my money.
Tickets now.
I got time for that.
But yeah, I mean, do you guys want to, like, how would we rate this out of 5 or 10? What?
Out of 5. I will give the bands an absolute 5. I will give the crowd a 2.5.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the 5 with that, and probably like where my section was, like a 1, because I just hated all the people that kept getting up. I legitimately was like, oh my god, this couple has gotten up like 7 times. I've like fucking counted, like I've notched it into the wall, and... This guy has to get up with his woman every time she goes to wherever she's going, whether it be the bathroom or the bar, because his testicles is in her purse. Because that's how it is.
You know what's worse? You know what's worse than that? Being forcefully pushed into a mosh pit, as I was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't there to protect you like usual.
I was there.
No, this asshole behind me was like, hey, watch this. Boom! And I take like 6 steps in. And I'm like, shit,
talk about the people behind us. That psychopath, man. That psychopath who's literally giving the, I'm going to kill you, I have a knife in my pocket eyes. And this guy was trying to squeeze through, and he just looked at him like this. He's like, for the audience,
hi, how you doing?
I'm giving this really creepy leer to Blue. I'll kill you. And the guy, literally, he looked scared. Like, he walked away, he goes,
fuck.
Like, who farted? Is like,
oh. Oh, yeah, and there was that guy, too.
Yeah, there was some flatulence around my area, and I thought there was smoking, too. So,
and the little e-cigarettes. So, I would give the bands 5. And,
yeah.
I would give the crowd a 1.
Yeah, or 1. Yeah, that was really
0.5.
Bad.
It was like 8 people.
Yeah, 0.5. It was just, yeah.
Yes.
That's the only thing is like, yes, they can't, and like, I was watching people doing, like, an Irish, like, hoedown over on the other side.
Which
and,
like, is good. Which I, is like cool. I like
those. It was fucking cool to watch those people, like, arm in arm and dancing and spinning around and
River Dance the fucking thing.
But that's the only thing was, is that was cool over there, but all the shit that was happening either around us was just not fucking cool because of how the people were acting. It just, it's one of those things where it's different strokes for different folks, more or less. It's just people, when they go to a concert, they just don't have any like real etiquette, like, hey, let's not like try to fuck each other up here. You know,
yes.
let's try to get out of this thing alive, buddy. But, you know, that's... We're Boston. We're crazy that way.
Some people just want to watch the burn. I kind of just... Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
You see, like, those big, skinhead-looking guys with, like, they look like Vikings.
Yeah.
They're pretty much just stomping toward the front of the floor, going toward, like, you know, the mosh pit, like, just let him go.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there, like, the one that, like, we were talking about was the Mighty Bostones, you know, the, what was that, the Christmas, what?
Yeah, the hometown throwdown.
Yeah, the hometown throwdown. That one was excellent. I like that. Even though that there was these big guys that were, like, probably about 6'5" and about, as wide as a car, basically, or Fiat, at least. And they're at, like, all of us are having a good time. There's like a circle that opened up and people are dancing in the middle of it. People are getting pushed into it. It's a very mini calm mosh pit ska style setup.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden these guys were like, hey, stop it. Hey. I just was like, fuck that guy. I got to take him out.
But you know,
quick.
I'm probably going to wind up reviewing this Skinny Lister album.
Hell, I already got mine. You know.
Forge and Flag On.
Yes.
Look out for a review for that sometime this coming week.
Alrighty, then.
Alright, so let's talk about the movie that we got to see, per request by Bluonic, because he suffered through movie 43 last week.
Yeah, under false pretenses. Fuck you.
I still say you were the one who suggested
seeing it. I said, look at this. I sent it to you to say, hey, look at how fucked up this is.
Look at it.
I mean, okay, to have Halle Berry blow out a blind kid's, like, birthday cake. Okay, that was funny and fucked up at the same time, but I was just like, I don't think this is gonna go well. So that was my personal opinion, but I said, oh, well, I guess if it's the only movie going out this week until somebody told me that Hansel and Gretel came out. Motherfucker. So, yeah, more or less... Going to this movie, Warm Bodies, thank you. It was excellent.
I was colored impressed.
Yes, because from watching the commercial, like when I first, like it wasn't really commercialized. I didn't really find it on TV as much. I found it like on IMDb. Like when it popped up on IMDb, Warm Bodies. Huh. Is this going to be another one of those zombie bullshit things? So I clicked on it.
Yeah, they didn't market it right.
It seemed like it was going to be necrophiliac love of sorts.
No, I had a feeling that I knew that, like, the guy was going to find the girl, but, like, with the way how they showed it in the commercial, like, that they did, he kind of, like, he switched over really fast. Like, he was just, like, back to life right away. In this one, it was kind of, like, drawn out. Like, it wasn't, like, instantaneous. It was just one of those things where it was, like, he needed to take the time to take the steps because he was still in mode.
You said it best, the snowball effect.
It is one of those snowball effects. You know, you throw the little snowball down on the top part of the hill and then it grows, because that's how it did. Was he was coming back. He didn't know what happened to him in the first place to end up as a zombie, but he acknowledged what was going on around him. He's like, oh yeah, that guy's dead. They're all fucking dead. I don't know what to do. I've never been on this side of the airport. What's going on? What am I doing? You know, he just he's asking the life questions. He was the monologue that was great was, you know, when he's going through everything, he's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? Like, we're just walking around doing all that other shit.
You know what's...
And we're going to end up as these other things called, what, bonies? Or
bonies.
Skinnies or whatever the hell they were. And
you see this guy picking his skin. I was like, don't do that.
He's like, oh, come on, you're making it worse now. But
but you know what made that scene a lot better? If that song from Jonathan Coulton played, Reply Your Rains.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just walking around and whatnot. I just love that the fact that he was... You wonder if zombies actually think that way, or if they actually have stuff more happening in their brain, except for, like, brains. They could be like, I wonder what's... Where's my car? I wonder if I had to pick up the kids today.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really hungry.
What was it? The, No, Dawn of the Dead? No. The other one that they did that, that basically had all the zombies, like, doing, like, trying to pump gas.
Fido!
No, not Fido, you jerk.
Fido.
No, it's a legitimate, like, you know... Legitimate, like, one of the, what's his name there, the director?
George A. Romero?
Yeah, it was one of George Romero.
Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead. Land of the Dead, where a lot of the people, you know, that were zombies and stuff like that were living out, like, the way that they were beforehand. Like, the guy was a gas attendant.
It's muscle memory and everything.
Yeah, it's one of those muscle memories, which is kind of was like this, but...
Yeah, with the guy at the metal detector.
Yeah. So every time one of the guy, he just metal on something because that was his job beforehand. That's what he wanted to remember. Then there was the guy who was mopping the floor. Mm-hmm. That was what he did beforehand for being a janitor. So for them to like show it with him because he was like the odd man out. Like he was the one going, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I so odd?
He's
like
so
why
am I? His name is
Why am I like out of the whole? You know.
Maybe he was just a sympathetic loser. Maybe he was a pothead. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. But then there's that conversation he has with the Rob Corddry zombie, and it's just them grunting back and forth. And I've got to say, it's still better dialogue than any of the fucking Twilight movies.
Yeah. But I thought I enjoyed that the most because Rob Corddry is just hilarious. He's done it. He does just great comedy.
I'm glad that he actually had a bigger part than I thought it was just a thing. I thought he was just going to run around and just go, eat. You're a great character actor. You could just portray a zombie just anywhere and just with a couple words.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great thespian. Put you in the new Star Wars movie.
Put Rob Corddry. Rob Corddry will be the new C-3PO.
Son of Han Solo.
So, no, with that whole setup that they did was, you know, like, they showed when they got into that whole eat part, you know, like, they're like, yeah, we travel in a pack. So they're all just like, and they smelled, that's their whole thing was, it was cool because they were like, oh, we smelled human. So it's like, they went directly towards the humans, and that's what they did, and they swarmed them. And they
tell them, good God, we move slowly. let's just meet back up with us in a later time.
but when you know, the main zombie meets the girl that he kind of falls for.
Julie,
yeah. He just, it was kind of funny because he ends up killing the boyfriend. And this, I don't know if that's what sparked it.
Exactly, that's how I was going to
You don't know
up.
if he didn't eat the boyfriend's brains, because that's what it is. Their concept is the boyfriend's brains was the one thing that, because you can take their memories. If you didn't eat their brains, they would come back as you. Like one of your own, like the zombies.
Mm-hmm. I think I love her. Yep, I love her.
Yeah, I definitely love her, and this is helping me figure out how to like keep her.
I'm getting through it really easy. I gotta eat it. It's the best part. Brains.
Well, I have some extra one in my pocket.
Nice watch.
But yeah, to lead up to that whole point where he kind of was just he saves her by like taking some of his. You know, zombie sludge off of him and putting it on her.
So, I'm pretty. Yeah. He just wipes some goo on her face and it's like,
Be dead.
She's just like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I following you?
Safe. He just reminded, the way he talked just reminded me of Malcolm's best friend, the kid, the black kid in the wheelchair from Malcolm in the Middle. The way that kid talked,
hi, doing? Please.
What's going
stop.
On?
Stop.
Hey. How's it going? Like, you're always out of breath. Can I point one particular thing out? I don't know if this is considered a spoiler. We got on. We got the.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. I really liked this movie, but there was one particular thing that I just did not like because I just thought it was so pretentious. When he talked about the zombies like music. Zombies can put on music, and the fact she's like, "Why did you?" And he goes, "You have so many records," but they made him believe that he's been walking around that airport for a long time.
Yeah,
but he has all these records. And all of a sudden, she's like, "Why didn't you? You couldn't find an iPod?" And he actually says the words. He's like, "Better, more alive." It's like,
yeah.
What kind of zombie knows the difference? It just sounds like a complete audio snob. It's like, oh, I like records because that's what somebody does when they love records. I love it because it sounds so much alive. It's better. It's like zombie hipsters. But yeah. I totally wear ironic glasses, and I wear plaid, and, you know.
Drink Pabst.
This is what's wrong with Pabst. But just being, listening to records that's itself and all that stuff, and that was just the one weird thing. It's like,
yeah.
You know that the writer put that in, goes, yeah, this is awesome writing. Check me out. It's like, oh, people are going to love this. It's ironic and funny. It's like, really?
Yeah.
No, inside joke, Manny?
Yeah, it was an inside joke. But I did enjoy how the fact that they made the zombie, like, he was struggling through everything. He was trying to explain stuff. And, like, in your mind, you're like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what it is. It comes out free. He's just like, candy machine. There you go.
It may be, like, a bad comparison, but it makes you think of, like, with Helen Keller.
Yeah.
Like how she was slowly trying to learn how to speak and
communicate.
The zombie is like an allegory or a metaphor for the same things that Helen Keller had to go through. In my most pompous way of movie criticism I can think of.
Yeah. I mean, this movie was kind of slow, but I think it was at the right pace. Did you guys feel that it was at the right pace for how they did it?
It took me a little bit for me to get into it. But I feel like as soon as the second day came in and you started noticing that his skin was turning a little bit darker because there was more blood flowing into him. Yeah, there was
blood flowing and whatnot. So more or less,
blood flowing once he saw the girl. He's just like, I'm just getting engorged with blood.
Now, the question I have for you guys, would you suggest this as, like, an actual, like, Valentine's date movie? Because that's basically, I think this was actually, like, put out at this time. So people like us could actually kind of give the people the heads up. So when Valentine's Day comes around and want to go and see a movie, do you think this would be probably one to suggest towards it?
Anything to get you away from, like, a Dear John or...
Channing Tatum movie?
Yes. Oh, my God. It's the one with Josh Duhamel, the new movie that's coming out, The Cove.
Yeah.
Or something. It's like, the guy from the creators of The Notebook. And Dear John, it's like, oh,
it's another movie about a love that's gonna end tragically because of cancer.
It's like, I liked it better when it was that movie with Julia Roberts. Yeah. It's like when she got a crazy husband and she escapes him, gets a new identity in some cool beach community, but then the husband finds her and trouble ensues. It's like, kill me now.
Done before.
Yep.
No more.
I want to eat a shit sandwich.
But I would describe One Bodies as sort of an anti Valentine's Day movie. If that sounds, it does sound weird.
How is that?
Sounds very meta. Yeah,
it is very meta.
You gotta help me with this double negative here.
Okay, so it is a double negative. It's a zombie movie, but it's a romantic movie.
Yes.
So, on one hand, it's anti because it's dealing with zombies. But on the other hand, it's anti because it's dealing with zombies in love.
But not in a tear-jerking way.
Yeah, it's not in a tear-jerking way, but it's in a concept that... would you say satire? Sometimes? I don't know. I don't know how to put it.
The best way for me to describe it is like the last few minutes of the movie Rudy. When you're just rooting for him. Come on, please. Yes, the slow hand clap. It's a slow hand clap becoming faster and faster. God. That's what Warm Bodies is.
No. What I'm trying to say is that it's like an adaptation of the concept that there are those people that are out there that are, you know, going through life is like just like zombies. Like they haven't
found that awkward.
Yeah, we're so awkward, nobody likes us, dude, blah 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 blah. You know, they just go through life every day in, day in, day out. And then all of a sudden they find the one. And then when they find the one, they start, their heart starts pumping, everything starts feeling more alive. So that's one of those things where it's an adaptation that I feel that you're going from your normal zombie self to just, holy shit, you know, I'm alive. And it just, they did a very good job with it. I felt like they did
it. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some brains.
Yes, exactly. Love Instead of eating worms, I'm going to eat brains.
But then you.
I highly suggest this for, you know.
Yeah, for a date movie.
For these next, like, month or something like that, for you to go and check it out. And it's really good. They did a fantastic job with that.
Agreed.
Even though I wanted to punch the couple in the head that were in front of me. So.
Oh, yeah, them.
I mean, why would they pick that spot right in front of me? They had the whole fucking theater, and they had to park their ass in front of me.
That's Blue for the Boston Basketball Game. Let's sit in front of him, because he's actually trying to enjoy this movie.
And then we had the people over next to John that were just kept like, whoops!
Oh!
Whoops. Oh my god!
Whoops.
Oh my god, I dropped it again!
Oh my god! So many butterfingers!
And then we look more to the left, and oh my god, it's the same fat fuck from the Broncos jersey! I don't think he even left the theater!
I sucked in a chair, and I got more butterfingers.
Yeah, they tried to use the crowbar to wedge my ass out, but it didn't happen. It actually ate the crowbar.
My ass is actually fused to the chair.
My body needed the iron. God. Fucking people. Yes. Alright, so anyways, I'd rate the sucker.
Rate it. I will give this movie a good 4.4 out of 5.
John?
I would give this movie a 4.
Really? Okay. I'll give it the 4.8. It's really that
good. Really?
I'm really
good. You're going near the top.
I love this movie. He did recommend this movie. I'm telling you. He did recommend this movie. He's trying to die now. Oh, Hansel and Gretel. But he's like, I secretly want to watch this.
I want to go watch Hansel and Gretel too. But I'm just like, that's the only thing about me. Yeah, I'm still kind of worried about it.
I actually saw Hluonic, all that other stuff. I saw him wiping a tear.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. It was like my own Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was definitely...
Yes.
When I said adaptation, I meant my life. Okay. So, anyways. next.
Okay, so let's move on to the video game demos that we got to try out. And let's start out with the new game, Crysis 3. And they just released an online multiplayer demo for this. And they gave you two modes to try out. They gave you Crash Site, which is the one that you two got to try out, and another mode called Hunter.
Now, can you explain the Hunter one?
Because Hunter has you survive 5 2-minute rounds against invisible enemies.
Oh, good luck with that, because that is, like, damn near impossible.
Well, you can see their shadows, though. That'll give you away. And remember that clicking sound you would hear from time to time in the game? Those are the invisible enemies.
Shit, Predator, do 360 shot!
Exactly. But if you die during it, you become a hunter, so you have to
hunt all the dudes. It's like that fucking zombie game or something like that they have in Counter-Strike or one of the other things.
It's a zombie revenge, like Left 4 Dead was.
Yes.
Like, you go and you start off either as a zombie or a regular person, and then if you go and get killed by a zombie, you become one of them until...
Or if you find some girl and your heart starts beating, you become alive again.
Right? Yes! That's what it should do, man! Be like, yeah, that girl's totally bangable.
And Huey Lewis comes out of nowhere and goes, that's the power of love!
Alright, anyways.
So with this demo, or beta, whatever you want to call it, you know, I like the style that they gave you, but... You were mentioning you were having issues with the control scheme of it.
Well, I know, and John and I know basically how we are, because we've been... I only own, like, an Xbox 360 and a Wii. I'm used to those controls. Yeah. Those are fine. But that's the thing, is going from the kind of disorientation of the controller, where the trigger is underneath instead of on top, and...
Let's put it on the top skinny button instead of the bottom fat button that's right there, right where your index finger rests on.
Usually rests on there, because when I play with a PlayStation, you know, 3 controller, or actually the PlayStation 2 controller, I'm not, like, you know, holding it, like, all four fingers at the top, you know, at the top of the controller, and doing it that way, it feels like it's just really uncomfortable. I'm just used to having one finger down, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I would have to actually legitimately, if I was to buy this, like, with the PlayStation 3, I would have to
do kind of like a control scheme, like just switch it all around. Yeah. I mean, with Darkheart and stuff like that, he has the PS3 at my house, and I got to play, like, Resistance with him, Resistance 3, like, last time, and I'm still having an issue with the whole, like, movement process on that, but I was still able to kill, like, you know, the aliens, but when I was running around, you know, playing the actual multiplayer for Crysis, I was just like, hey, look, I killed something! Hey, I killed something! Oh, bang, dead! Fuck! Where'd that guy come from?
You know? Well, that's what, yeah, that's exactly what happens in Crysis 3. And that whole setup of the invisible, you can have the invisible cloak, and that's going to throw you off. But again, if you just look at the ground, you'll see the shadows still of those people.
Yeah, but by the time you notice the shadow, they're already up on you with a shotgun and blasting you full
balls. Because we all know when you bend lights in suits of futuristic capabilities, they still cast a shadow.
Yeah, I mean, yep. Apparently that's you know what happens.
And if you use it too much, you get low power, mm-hmm. and then you may blow up.
Yep.
Possibly, yeah.
It makes no sense.
I don't know if that was because of that or if I got just blown the fuck up.
Well, time that I saw you guys go to low power and then blow up, that was because someone wound up shooting you right then and there.
Yeah. Ah, so it has nothing to do with the cloaking ability.
Yeah.
So you can go Predator all the way, so.
Yeah, basically.
Along with the controls. The controls were just crazy and stuff right there as far as me. Like, it's just because Xbox 360, I'm just so familiar with...
I'm using the joystick up a little ways on the left side, and that one down a little bit, and then the controller scheme.
I blame the fact that I didn't have as much fun as I usually do, just because I'm not a
shooter.
Shooters isn't my favorite. It used to be my favorite, but the thing is also I'm not that familiar with the PlayStation controller itself right here, and playing right there. The graphics look great, but it's just another thing. You know, along with the weird controls as far as hitting R1 and R2 and all that stuff right here, it just seems like it's been done already. A lot of these shooters, it just seems like they're using
this almost felt like a little bit like Halo.
Halo slash Modern Warfare.
But the swing around on the camera, just it messed with me a couple times. Even when I was watching John play, you know, I was like, oh shit, that happened to me too.
It's like
the guy went right by me. Yeah. I go to turn around to find him, and he's either gone or he's already slipped behind me again and killed me. It's like, how is this working? Like, it doesn't.
Well, these are the people that have been playing 24 hours straight since it came out, so they probably figured out how to do it properly.
Yeah, it is Saturday.
They installed the toilet right next to their computer.
So no, it'd be like Idiocracy. Did you see that yet? No?
I have seen it, but I'm
remember there was a guy when he wakes up in, like, you know, the guy's apartment and stuff like that. His, like, lazy boy had a built-in toilet. So that's basically what these guys do. They designed a toilet with the lazy boy, and they're all set, so... just shit on a constant basis.
In a bidet, just shoots. It's one of those Japanese toilets.
Yeah,
just sprays the water
up. Automatically cleans. Or they just have the gamer stank.
They just constantly don't wear pants.
Yeah, they just have the gamer stank.
Mm-hmm.
God, those fucking people suck.
Yes.
Mom, spray me down with that!
Bucket! Grab the bucket!
Shit everywhere!
Yeah, but... Alright, well, anyways. I don't know. I think we can probably just... You know, end it right there. Just give it a rating.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.8 out of 5. I'm just curious more to see what the single player mode's going to be like. Yeah. Because while I do like multiplayer, I'm more interested in what a one player experience is going to be like.
Itself,
so. What the campaign's going to be like, what the story's going to be like.
I'll probably give it around a 3.2. I mean, I did have the issues with the control movement, but, I mean, that just might be me right now with the whole aspect of not playing PlayStation 3 on the constant basis that I would normally play, like, the Xbox. But I mean, like, the graphics, they were pretty good. They were pretty up there. But yet, you know, like I said, some of the camera movements, I don't know if that was another part of the aspect between the controller, you know. And so, yeah, 3.2 is fine.
Now, they always carried the same controls over from all the other games, Crysis 1,
I think
Crysis
2. They kind of did, because that's what I remember. I thought Crysis 2 was on the Xbox.
Yeah, it is as well.
But why isn't it on this one?
Okay, so here's the thing. I downloaded the demo for this one the day before it came out for the Xbox 360 one.
Oh, okay, so that's why. Mm-hmm. All right, so I might be able to give it a little bit better maybe next week with the Xbox. So I don't know. I'll give it a try again, and if I just go, yeah, Crysis, same, then you'll know.
I have not changed my opinion.
Yep. But people who pre-ordered the game get a free downloadable copy of the first Vid Crysis game. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, that isn't bad.
I give it just because it's just something that I've just seen over and over again, and I just fell out of it. Like, you know, it's kind of like the whole Madden game thing where it's just the same thing over and over again. Like, I got sick of Modern Warfare. I'm just more of like a fighting game, like Devil May Cry, Super Street Fighter, Street Fighter versus Tekken kind of game, game player and stuff. Or Assassin's Creed 3, like, I want like those follow-throughs, hack and slash, climbing up walls like Spider-Man. Like, that's my bag right here. But shooting is, it's something that just got really old for me, and I'm just going to give it a 2 just because it's like I've seen it before. And
yeah.
I just wasn't familiar with the controls. It could change once I play the Xbox 360 version, or just like Blue, it could not change.
It might just be the same kind of setup. The only other thing is there's a drastic difference between like PlayStation and Xbox with their graphics and stuff like that I noticed. Like,
well, the great game looked great, but it's just a lot of stuff happening all at once and stuff right here. So especially the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So the other demo that we got to try out was Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, the fourth game in a popular PlayStation exclusive franchise. And it gives you a bit of a backstory beforehand. You find out that Sly has retired from the thieving business and finds out, or has he?
Dun dun dun. Amnesia? Question mark.
No, I'm just saying that to my girlfriend to make her think that.
Yeah, because she works for Interpol.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
So his buddy Bentley discovers that his book of, like, all the thieving techniques is being slowly erased. So he finds out that they've got to go back in time and find out what's causing it and prevent it from happening. So the first level of this game...
He's got a Polaroid of all his friends and they just keep disappearing.
Yeah.
Marty! Marty!
So in the first level, you play as the three characters that you get to control in this whole game. You first play as Sly, where you gotta infiltrate the building and climb up to the window that will bring you to the samurai sword that you're supposed to steal. Then you play as Bentley, who goes through the sewers and tries to get to the security system and hacks it so it turns off all the,
systems, and he's very handy capable.
Yes, he's very handy capable with his magic scooter. Or is it scooter or wheelchair?
It was a wheelchair. Yeah. A hovercraft bomb thing, Dr. Octopus kind of setup. So
yeah.
And then the final thing was Murray, the part that you guys didn't get to play. He basically just roughs up all the guards in an area.
He's a goon.
He's a big, fat, giant, what is it, a hippo?
Yeah.
So he just hits people with their stomach probably or something, or sit on them.
He does like a belly flop on some of them.
Yeah.
So. And he shuts down the main power to just make absolutely sure that the backup system doesn't turn off.
The backup of the backup of the backup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you made a good observation when it came to the graphics, how it had that sort of Borderlands 2 look to it.
Yeah, it's like the cel shading. I think it was cel shading as far as... Because I've seen a video demo of it itself, so I've actually seen the other levels as far as you playing as the samurai and playing as the Egyptian and all that other stuff. It's like, it looked like... That was the one thing that caught my eye, because it's just the overall, like, kind of like doubled improvement as far as, like, compared to the last Sly Cooper game to this game. The graphics and just, it's a beautiful game. And it's easy, like, you know, kids can enjoy it, myself can enjoy it. Like, just the gameplay is fun. But the graphics itself blew me away because it's just, they are taking full potential of what PlayStation 3 can do. And it also had a quicker load time than Crysis 3.
So yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, all right, cool.
You can usually jump right into it.
Yeah. But I liked how they two different formats. The cartoon version where it's telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then jumping right into the actual, like, cel shading kind of a video game itself right here, where it has a, like, almost like a complete 360 peripheral when you want to look around corners and see Sly as far as being able to grab onto certain things. So,
yeah, the graphics, they did a pretty fantastic job from the transition. Like, I felt that it was almost, they were trying to keep it as true as it was to the cartoon, you know, like, they didn't try to, you know, alter it in any way, so they
You know, the cartoon part kind of reminded me of the animation style of Shank in some places.
Yeah, just a tad. Just a wee bit on the Shank part. But yeah, I mean, the characters, some of their voices were annoying.
Oh, God, Bentley.
Oh, my God, no.
I hated Bentley's voice.
Jeez, bye! Bye! If you want to get this, press A and B! Press the zero button! Did I say zero? I meant O. I'm a silly turtle.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so it's one of those things, another getting used to the PlayStation 3 controller yet again, and movement, and jumping, and double jumping, and all that other fun stuff. Shut up, gang.
I just love that you can get zapped with Sly if you touch the beams or whatever, but whatever, what was his name again?
Bentley.
Bentley. Whenever Bentley falls over, it just rewinds like, oh, he can't fail, he's handicapped. That's preferential treatment.
Yeah.
He should die just like everybody, and it's because he's in a wheelchair. The thoughts and views expressed by John C. Reilly do not reflect those of the Boston Bassett Brigade.
Thank you.
No, I'll take him. Anyways, yeah, that was kind of messed up that would keep happening.
What is this, Prince of Persia again?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and this is like a DVR in my cable box. Fucking assholes.
But when this game does come out, I've got to give it up to Sony. They dropped the price. It's only going to be $40.
Wow. Nice. So that's cool.
$20.
Make it fun. Make it like I made a joke about it being similar to like, you know, like the new Devil May Cry, but only for kids and stuff. Right here, far less. There's no blood. It's very cartoony. Kids can enjoy. Kids can follow the story.
Adults
and
can
the
enjoy.
Gameplay is all. Yeah, adults can play, but it's also very. It's not telling you exactly. Press this button. It's kind of guiding you itself. I'm pretty sure you could probably turn that off because if you're familiar with the game. But it is pretty cool that it's help guiding, so people aren't going to be stuck not knowing exactly what to do.
Yeah, it's displayed in the demo, but
it's not too easy. But it is. It's a fun time. It's a fun game.
But I still think I agree with you on the concept is that a lot of adults are going to be playing this game while the kids are going to be playing Devil May Cry.
It's going to be switched up.
It's going to be switched.
Pokemon
up.
And adults, Modern Warfare and kids. You know. It's the way it's going to be.
Yep. Absolutely.
And ponies. I mean, that's the thing with my youngest nephew. He's like, yeah, can I play Claire at the Dotto?
No! Oh my God, no!
St. Rose? No! Who the hell? He's like, I can't.
No GTA 5 for you.
I can't wait till Grand Theft Auto 5 come back. Who's going to buy it for you, Mom? God damn it!
Doris!
But to slap a rating on Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time... I'll give it a 4.5. I was very impressed with the demo, and I think I will try and see if I can rent the full version of it when it comes out on Gamefly.
I don't know. I'll give it an odd number, 4.1.
4.7.5.
Ah, somebody liked it more.
Uh-huh. All right. I think that's about it for today's show.
Cheers.
Yeah, all right. So, remember... For the latest news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blawnik is _Blawnik. We're on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And I think that's all from my side
can
of things.
Can I say a couple things?
Yep, after he says his...
You things. Say your things!
We're on Facebook.com/Boston Bass Brigade. Sorry, it's really fucking long. Just go up to the search bar, type in Boston, and hopefully by the time you put in BAS, it should be able to pop up. It's a logo that has black and red. So find us on that, and you can ask us all the questions you want. We look forward to you. Okay, your turn.
Yay! I'm on Twitter at JC Sargent, my old radio name. I don't want to change it. Maybe I should. So... Stay on the lookout. Well, it's kind of hard when you're John C. Reilly, and there's also another famous John C. Reilly on Twitter. But anyway, moving on, we also have the show, the later show with John and Matt. Sundays at 7 p.m. or around that on justin.tv/JaceDown. JaceDown is the name of our production company right here. You can find us, the later show with John and Matt, on Facebook. Do a search. You'll see my face on Bad Luck Brian's body and a bunch of other funny things. You can also check me out as the... co-producer of the Issues Guy show on Ustream. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. We've got preparations going on for PAX East, Anime Boston, E3. It's going to be a very interesting first half of the year. And maybe, just maybe, we'll try figuring out something to do for the second half of the year.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Besides the Boston Festival of Indie Games.
But the other thing you gotta look at is you gotta go take a look at Flogging Molly, see if you can check out their new album, Skinny Lister, and Dave
House.
So, yeah, go and check them out. They're amazing.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Anything else? Alright. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Lemonic.
John C. Reilly.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.